to page number 26, page number 26 of this introduction booklet. The purpose of this book is to introduce people to this church, who we are, what we believe, how we function, these kind of things. Now, it's my desire that through this book, that this potentially will become a pre-members class or even a new members class. What I mean by that is we may ask people to go through this book before they join the church just so they know exactly what they're joining, who they're joining, what they're getting into. It's important for people to understand that. So for time's sake, I'm not going to go back. You can go back because you have this book here. You can go back and read the opening 25 pages if you want to do that at another time. I've already preached on it. But we've come to page number 26. We're currently in what we call who we are here. In other words, our meaning. We are a fundamental, independent, Baptist church. We've already identified what it means to be fundamental. We've identified what it means to be independent. You can go back and look at that. We're in the midst right now of identifying what it means that we are a Baptist church. And to help with that, we're spelling out the word Baptist, plural. We are under the last T, which is two church offices, two scriptural offices in the local church. One is the pastor. We've already preached on the pastor. We pick up here with the office of a deacon. Now, we have some fine deacons here. God bless them. I appreciate the unity that's here. It's important for them to understand, just like it's important for the pastor to be reminded of who he is, what he's supposed to do. It's important for the deacons to be reminded again of what their duty is. Notice the Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:8, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. The deacons' qualifications are also outlined in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 to 13. The office of the pastor's qualifications is identified in the opening 7 verses of that same chapter. Then in verse number 8 through verse number 13, he gives the qualifications of a deacon. Now the deacon, talking about the name, the term deacon literally means servant, means helper. Now as servants of the church, deacons shall carry out those duties and responsibilities which will ensure that the pastor has adequate time to devote to prayer, devote to Bible study, and the ministry. This means that the pastor cannot do it all. The pastor never has supposed to do it all. He's supposed to have help. That's where Sunday school teachers come in. That's where bus workers come in. That's where a youth pastor comes in, an assistant pastor comes in, a children's pastor comes in. That's where all these things come in, but especially deacons, that's where they come in. They are used to help the pastor to do his duties by freeing him up from certain things so he can devote more time to study, to prayer, and to the ministry. This doesn't mean that it makes the pastor lazy. Amen, friends. It just simply means that everything that God expects the church to do, one man can't do it. Can I get an amen there, please? One man can't do it, two men can't do it, and may I say this to you? It'll be something if 100 can do it in a church this size. This is the way God has made it. It's the duty and responsibility of the deacons, now get this, to cooperate with the pastor in the work of the church. Deacons are not to run the church. They are only to assist the pastor. That's what they are. Let me say this to you. Did I even turn this on? I turned it on now, okay? When a deacon board tries to usurp the authority that only belongs to the pastor, it is a walking nightmare. God did not call deacons to lead the church. God called a pastor to lead the church. And God has called deacons to come along beside him and assist him and help him and encourage him and even give him some advice. There's nothing wrong with that. That's one reason why our deacon board means so much to me, because there's such a diversity of gifts on that deacon board. Some people have an expertise in this or in this or in this. I'll be honest with you, sometimes God leads us to do something and I'm like, how are we going to do this? And this man over here who has the expertise in it said, have you thought about it this way? Yes, let's pray about that. Let's see how the Lord leads in that. And that's the office of a deacon. The deacon does not run the church. He assists the pastor as the under-shepherd leads
the church. Then the S here. By the way, it's good to see Beth Rourke here. God bless you. I saw you this morning. I meant to mention something about you. See you again here tonight. Good to see you here. God bless you. Just so encouraged about this church. She came all the way from Africa. Thank the Lord for that. We're exciting people here, you know. Good to see you. I know other people want to say something to you tonight. The S in Baptist, we've already preached on this, so I'm just going to allude to it, but we believe in separation of church and state. We believe the government was established by God for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of well-doers. However, the government is not to have any authority, any, or any rule over the local church. None. Did you hear what I said? None. We are in an independent body. There is separation between church and state. Now, you can see the comments under independent on page number 15. But 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. So there we see the purpose of government is to punish evil, praise good. Punish evil, praise good. Keep their nose out of the church. Amen. Amen now. And what I'm saying to you is that we don't know what's going to happen in the future. We don't know what's going to happen. But we know that as the world gets worse and worse, you mark my word, the government's going to try to usurp the authority of the local church. You mark my word. They're going to try to come into the church and say what you can say, what you can't say. If you do say it, we're going to take your tax exempt away from you. We're going to do this to you, do this to you. God never gave them that right. Never. You need to understand that. You need to understand that. That's one of the things we stand for as a Baptist. Now, not only Baptists stand for that, but that's one good thing a Baptist stands for. That we believe in separation of church and state. Then, we're a church. This is the meaning now. I know picking up right here in the middle of a major point is kind of hard to follow, but we're talking about the meaning of this church. You can go back and look at it. We're independent, we're fundamental, we're Baptist, and we're a church. So we're identifying all of those words. What's it mean to be independent? Independent, we've preached on that. What's it mean to be fundamental? We've preached on that. What's it mean to be a Baptist? We've spelled it out for you. Now, what's it mean to be a church? What does that mean? The word church comes from the word ecclesia, which literally means called out assembly. Therefore, we see the local church is an organized body of called out, born again, baptized believers. When you look at the New Testament, those who are able to join the local church, they must be saved and scripturally immersed, all of that coming into the authority of the local church. We see that we're an organized body that is called out, born again, baptized believers, meeting in a specific location for the purpose of winning souls, training the saved, observing the ordinances, and carrying out all things whatsoever Christ commanded. Now, when you look at those pages under our meaning, who are we? Independent Fundamental Baptist Church. You read through that, that gives you a good idea of the church you are sitting in. This is who we are. This is what we represent. Now, we shift focus to the next page. I'm not sure how far I'll get here in page number 27. We're looking at M's, our message, our meaning. Now we come to this, our motto. It's up here above the baptistry for you. A heart for God, a home for you, a hope for all. Let me say this to you. That is why we exist. God gave this to me when I was at Ambassador Baptist College about a year or two ago. I was preaching there. I was staying in Lashley Hall. Maybe that's what it was, preacher. It was just the influence of Lashley Hall on me or something. And I was praying, God, give me a motto for Buffalo Ridge. And God gave this to me here. Now, my wife claims that she, you know, the Lord gave it to her first, and she relayed it to me. And she may be listening, so, honey, you're exactly right. I salute you. God bless you for that. Yes, wonderful. Who cares who he gave it to? But this is the motto. Now, get this. A motto is an expression of the guiding principle. It's something expressing the spirit of the place or the purpose of why it exists. It is also often inscribed as a badge or banner that flies out. Now, let me say this to you. A motto is not essential, okay? This is a preference. This is not Bible doctrine. I mean, God revealed. No, no. I'm just saying God laid something on our heart to help us put it in words where we can keep it in front of us about why we're here. What are we doing? What's our motto? What's our purpose? What's our badge? This right here summarizes it. A heart for God. A home for you. A hope for all. Now let's break this down. First of all, a heart for God. Our motto, a heart for God. The Bible says in Mark 12:30, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength." This is the first commandment. Now notice, since it's a book, I'm reading more than I typically read when I'm preaching a sermon, but just look at this now. We desire to be a local church whose goal is God Himself. Let me say this to you. If you take that statement and you take it home and it means something to you, this church will only get better. It'll never get worse. May I say this to you? When God is the goal, it takes so much pressure off of you. You don't care what this person's pressuring you to do. You don't care what every other church is doing with their music or with the version of the Bible or with their standards. If God's the goal, it's settled. It's finished. You're not going to be blown off course because God is our goal. We want to please Him. We do not want things such as numbers or fellowship or ministries. And may I say this? I'm for all three of those. I am for numbers. Because numbers are souls, numbers are people. I'm for as many as we can get. Hey, I'm for fellowship. We ought to fellowship as a body in Christ. We ought to have good fellowship here. I'm for ministries. Look at the ministry wall. I mean, constantly we're trying to get you involved. But the ministries are not the goal. Numbers are not the goal. Fellowship is not the goal. We desire to put the Lord first in every aspect of our lives and ministry. We desire to have a heart for God and be consumed with doing the will of God in all things. And as I've already said, this desire settles all other issues at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We desire for our service to come out of our worship of God. Let me tell you why there's not many people. I'm talking general. I'm talking about generally in American Christianity, around the nation. Even around the world. Let me tell you why there's a lot of Christians who never serve God because they don't worship Him. Do you realize that service should come out of worship, not out of duty? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do you realize that no matter what you do for the Lord, if you're not careful, it'll become a duty in your life? And you'll just do it because you feel bad if you don't? Friends, listen, there's something bigger than that. His name is God. And when God is our goal, we will never quit. We will keep on going. It settles everything else. And when we worship Him, we can't help but serve Him. We're striving to love Him with all of our hearts. We want to love Him and obey His will and have His smile in our ministry. That's what that phrase, a heart for God, means. That's the point we're trying to get across. It's not about us. It's not about this church. It's about God. It's about the Lord. It's about lifting up Christ. What John the Baptist did, what I preached on this morning, that's not only the purpose of the child of God, it's the purpose of the church. That's the mission of the church. We're to lift up Christ, not ourselves. We're to lift up the Lord. Hey, I want God to smile on the ministry of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Do you want God's smile here, yes or no? I believe I got that statement from you, preacher, that you said you want to have God's smile on your life. It applies to the church. I want God to smile when He looks in on Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I want Him to be pleased. And may I say this to you? Don't you understand that God has simplified life? I've said this over and over, but maybe you've never heard it because you're new here. God has simplified life. Here's what I mean. God has made life where there's one decision to make over and over again. See, the devil tries to get you to look at life like this right here. Look at all these things you've got to make it. What are you going to do about that? And what are you going to do about this? And look at this coming over here. Look at this. And before you know it, you feel caved in. You feel crushed. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? God says, wait a minute. You're missing it. You're missing it. Life's not about many decisions. Life's about one decision that you make over and over again. You know what that decision is? What is God pleased with? What's the will of God in this? What does God desire here? Let me tell you something about God. There is nothing in your life that God does not have a will in. Nothing. Nothing. I don't care what it is. What job you take, who you marry. I'm talking what kind of house you buy, car you drive, how many house keys you have at home. He has a will in every single area. And all we're talking about when we say a heart for God is we are going after God. We want to please God. Who cares if it pleases man? Let's please God. And may I say this to you, when that's our goal and we truly have a heart for God, there will no junk music or junk standards or junk versions of the Bible ever step foot in this local assembly here. Amen. And I'm telling you, if things start slipping, if things start sliding, if things start going this way and that way and compromising here and compromising there, we have forgot the first statement of our motto. It wasn't about God, it was about us after all. I got pretty riled up right there, friends. Let us have a heart for God. Let us go after God. By the way, I preached on this in January, so I'm just going to tap it on the head here if I can. If this local assembly is a church that has a heart for God, and we're going after God, and we want to please God with our life, let me give you some things that summarize a church that truly pleases God. You can see it right here in front of you. First of all, it's a scriptural church. It's a church that majors on the Bible. We ought to preach it, we ought to teach it, we ought to memorize it, we ought to read it, we ought to obey it. And if this is going to be a local assembly where God is pleased, this book will be the center of this ministry. This book, the preaching of it, the teaching of it, the memorizing of it, the study of it, the obedience to it, this book will be center stage. Because this book is what a local church should be completely centered on to have God smile upon its life. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Secondly, it'll be a unified church. We see this in Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's interesting, in the book of 1 Corinthians, talking about in context the local church, the Bible calls it a body. A body. Not many bodies, one body. It's the body of Christ. And you know as well as I do that a body who has division is unhealthy. A body that has a sick member is unhealthy and could cut short the life of the entire body. May I encourage all of us to do this? As far as I know, now this is the honest truth. Preacher ought to tell you the honest truth, by the way, you know. As far as I know of no division in this local assembly. Now that's a great statement for a pastor to be able to get up and say. But that doesn't mean there isn't some. Because I don't live with you. I don't know what you're saying about other people. May I say this to you? If the pastor says that, it's one thing. But if God says it, it's another ball game. God knows if this local assembly is unified. He knows. And may I say that if a local church is not unified and it's split and there's schism in the body, the Bible talks about, God's not pleased with that, and God's blessing will not rest here the way that He desires for it to. Third, He's pleased with a loving church. 1 John 3:11 and 23, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son Jesus Christ and love one another as He gave us commandment. He wants us to be a loving church. He wants us to be a holy church. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, I'm on page 28 now, the top. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it's written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Dr. Clarence Sexton put it this way, the measure of the first century church was in its likeness to Jesus Christ. The measure of the first century church, talking about the first church, was not how many they had. It was how much like Christ they were. You know what? The desire of God for this local assembly is, be as much like Jesus Christ as you possibly can be. A holy church. A church that pleases God will be a witnessing church. Now you see how I can get bogged down in these. I'm trying to keep going here. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. By the way, he was talking to the church when he gave this. He's saying, you are a witness for me. You realize that being a gospel witness, making disciples, soul winning with the purpose of getting them in church and discipling them, that's to be the top priority of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Everyone, every member of this local assembly, this local body, who's a member of the one body of Christ, every member has a responsibility to try to witness to others and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. This is one reason why we have this as a leadership requirement in this church. If you're going to be a leader here, if you're going to teach Sunday school, be in the bus ministry, if you're going to be any kind of leader, usher, choir member, all this, I look at all of that as leadership, all of it. Because you're leading in some form or fashion. That's one requirement, one necessity for leadership. Now, we don't hold it over your head. If you're not doing it, you're out. No, we don't work that way. We make it into a prayer list. If you're not doing it, get on your face and ask God to help you do it. You see what I'm saying? But let me say this to you. It is, if anybody should set the example, it ought to be the leaders. Amen, friends. It ought to be the leaders. So if you lead here, if you teach, if you do anything in this local church, God wants you to be a witness, but not just you, anybody who's in this church, who calls this their church, it's God's will for you to be a witness. It's a witnessing church that brings a smile to God, a discipling church. This is something where we find in the New Testament, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. God is not pleased with just a soul-winning church. God is not pleased with just a soul-winning person. God is pleased with a person who desires to make disciples. That's the New Testament pattern. The New Testament pattern is not win them to Christ. Just win them to Christ. And listen, it's done. That's not true. The New Testament example is this, and the pattern is go after them for Christ, compel them to come in, win them to Jesus Christ, and then teach them everything I taught you. That's the will of God. That's where stepping in the light comes in. That's where our discipleship program comes in. God is pleased with not only a witnessing church, but a discipling church. He's also pleased with a reproducing church. 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. There you have four groups of people. You have Paul talking to Timothy. Timothy encouraged to give faithful men, and faithful men encouraged to give to others. You ought to be in that list somewhere. You should be in there somewhere. The purpose is that the others will become faithful men. The faithful men become Timothy's, and the Timothy's eventually become Paul. May I say this to you? I was others at one time in my life. God helping me and God challenging me and so on. God has helped me. I trust to be a faithful man who had a Timothy to give me more instruction. Eventually, I become a Timothy and my Paul gave me instruction. My Paul's sitting right there. He's one of them. Now I'm a Paul. If a pastor's not a Paul, what's he a pastor for? You know what I'm saying? I hope I'm Paul now. Now, I'm not saying I'm like Paul, but you understand, I'm talking about here. You know what I'm doing every time I preach? I'm trying to get it to Timothy. That's what I'm trying to do. And hopefully the Timothys here can find some faithful men under them to give it to. And hopefully the faithful men will start reaching others. What is it? It's reproducing yourself. It's multiplying yourself. This is what pleases God. It's our desire that the individuals here will reproduce themselves. Why don't you pray now? This is a repeat from the sermon that I challenged you with in January. Why don't you pray now? God, help me win somebody to you, see them baptized, see them discipled, and sitting in church faithfully telling others of Christ. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Is God pleased with that, yes or no? Do you think God might answer a prayer like that in faith? You better believe it. There's a young girl today. She came here. She was a teenager. Came on bus 7. She got saved. Brother Eugene Radford told me that she got saved before Sunday school even began. She went to you, I think it was. Came to Ash and said, I've got to be saved. Before Sunday school even started. You say, what's that? That's God sending somebody to a church where he knows that they want to do it right. May I say this to you? Ask God to give you somebody to reproduce yourself in. Ask God to lay somebody on your heart and witness to them, and ask God to help them see it. May they get saved, and may you encourage them, and you disciple them. You see them baptized. You sit and see them sitting with you, and you reproduce yourself. But not just that. Why not reproduce churches? Do you realize it's God's will for churches to reproduce churches? God's laying this on my heart. Matter of fact, here's what God's laid on my heart. We're trying to put it into the budget this year. We'll vote on all that, but here's one thing God's laid on my heart. For this local church, now listen, we are reproducing churches around the world through our missions giving. But it's my desire that there's a team that raises up in this church, some guys who know how to build, some ladies and so on who wouldn't mind to paint every now and then or something like that. I'm talking about a team of people that will say, I will go for a week, I'll go for a month, I'll go for 2 months, I'll go for 2 days. If you locate a place that needs a local church and we find somebody to go there who will be the pastor of it, I want to see groups of people raising up in this church who say, hey, I'll take a week vacation and I'll go help him knock doors and help start that church. That's one of the desires of this pastor, friends. And it's of God. That's of the Lord. As sure as I'm standing here, it is the will of God, not only for me to reproduce myself, but for Buffalo Ridge to reproduce itself. Question, do you think America, I'm not trying to lift this church up in a bad way here. Please don't misunderstand me. Because our church is not worthy, just like John the Baptist felt he wasn't worthy to even unloose the latchet. But the God who we serve, the God who we have a heart for, the philosophy of this ministry, what we're trying to do, trying to win the world, disciple new converts, do you think there are cities around America who needs a church just like this one? Yes or no? Then why don't we start starting some of them? Why don't we find some unreached zip codes around the United States of America and find a place that doesn't have a Bible-believing church and say, will you go for a week? Will you go for a month? Will you give 6 weeks of your life? Will you take your vacation and go there instead of going somewhere else? Hey, will you do that? Why? Because you want to help reproduce Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church elsewhere. Now, God's in that, friends. He's in that. And this is a church that pleases God when they reproduce themselves. He is pleased with a praying church. We see this in Acts 1:13 and 14. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Who is that? That's the church of the day. That's who it is. And they had come together to pray. Boy, that speaks to me. There was a preacher that told the story. He said in his reading, he came across a story about Martin Lloyd-Jones, a well-known preacher who was in heaven at that time. And after Martin Jones' death, another preacher went to see his wife, his widow, and said, we're going to miss your husband's preaching. But his widow said, you're going to miss his preaching, but I'm going to miss his praying. She said he was mightier in prayer than he was in the pulpit. What do we do right here? What we do in public is to no avail if what we are in private is not mighty with God. One preacher said this, we will never accomplish what must be accomplished for the Lord and his glory. It will never be accomplished without being a praying church. It's not going to happen. You listening to me? If there's another local church at the end of this year, I'm talking about this time next year, if there's another local church somewhere around America that people from this church literally picked up root and went, whether it just be for 2 days or 2 weeks or 2 months, if there's another church like that, it'll be because we were on our face praying. It will not happen any other way. Now, I'm cut right there. God is pleased with a praying church. Finally, he's pleased with a worshiping church. The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We do not, now get this, we do not exist for the applause of man, but for the glory of God. That's why we exist. Now I said all of that to explain what's in that little statement, a heart for God. We want to be a church that brings a smile to God's face. We want to be a Christian that brings a smile to God's face. If we're going to be a church like that, then we'll have these qualities among our body here. Then I'll close with this, a home for you. It's the second statement. We will not get to the third statement tonight. We'll pick up there later. But a home for you. A heart for God. We're in it for God. God alone. Not man. Not things. But God. A home for you. Now, let me just read this. We desire to be a place where we are meeting the spiritual needs of all kinds of people. We want to reach people and meet their needs right where they are. That means families should find a place here. Men, women, teenagers, children, widows, widowers, drug addicts, singles, cancer patients, parents, handicapped, the deaf, international students, you name it. No matter who they are, all should find a place at this church where they feel welcomed and wanted. Amen, friends. No matter their race, no matter their culture, no matter their social status, we desire to be a local church where any type of person finds a friendly, warm family welcome and is pointed to Jesus Christ as his only source of help in this world. Do you realize that the Word of God speaks to this? Listen to these verses. My brethren, this is James 2, 1 through 4. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Listen to this. For if there come unto your assembly, where you're meeting, he's talking to the church now. If there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment. He's saying, so listen. If you're in your assembly and here comes a man who's rich, I mean, he's clean, he's neat, he's got a gold ring, he's got fine raiment, and somebody comes in right beside him, he doesn't even have a penny to his name. Listen to verse 3. And ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? I preach a message right there called impartial Christianity. You know what the will of God is? That if somebody comes in here driving the most expensive car in the world, they are greeted, they are welcomed, and they will hear the message that Jesus saves and Jesus is who they need. But if somebody comes in here and they smell, they've not had a bath in 4 years. They don't have, listen, I mean, you can tell by looking at them, they don't have a dime to their name. The clothes they've been wearing, they've been sleeping in them and everything else, and they stink and everything else. Let me say this to you. God says a church that pleases me is a church that will also go to that person and say, we're so glad you're here. God bless you. Let me usher you in and give you a good seat in the house. And listen to the pastor, because he has a very special message for you. And the pastor's going to preach to him that he needs Jesus. He's going to preach to this person who's driving the expensive car that he needs Jesus. We're not going to be partial at Buffalo Ridge. That's what a home for you means. The you is whoever you are. Black, white, Chinese, Spanish, Japanese, rich, poor, live in a mansion, live in a gutter, drug addict, non-drug addict, hooked on alcohol, never touched it in your life, makes no difference. This is to be a church that is a home for anybody. Amen, friends. That's what that phrase means. By the way, you're doing a good job of that. I salute you. I ask visitors whenever they come in, I'll say things like this when I'm visiting, I hope our folks are friendly to you and kind with you. And I'm telling you, an overwhelming majority of the time, they say, oh, they were so friendly, so kind. We felt so welcomed. I salute you for that. God bless you. Don't ever let that change. May everybody find a home for themselves at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Amen, friends. You get that? Now we'll pick up with the next phrase, a hope for all. Bring it next Sunday night. The good Lord willing, we'll pick up right there. Okay? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness to us. I pray that you'll help us to be faithful to you, help us to trust you, to believe you, and to finish the work that you've given us to do. I pray, our Lord, that you truly help us to be a church that has a heart for God. Not a heart for numbers, not a heart for fellowship, not a heart for this. All those things are good. But may they never become the goal of this church. May you be our goal. And Lord, help us to have such a friendly, family, warm place that no matter who steps in our congregation, that they feel welcomed, they feel wanted, and Lord, they sense that they're among friends who care about them. God, help us to be a church like that. May thy will be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're just going to begin to play through softly. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? Has there been a time where you've trusted in the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world? If not, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. But tonight, maybe God is speaking to you about helping this church be a church that really does have a heart for God, that really does have a home for all people. God forbid that this church ever become a church that any type of person is turned away. The arms of Jesus Christ are open to the world, for whosoever will may come. And he didn't say whosoever is rich or whosoever is poor. See, it works both ways. God doesn't want us to overlook anybody. Do you understand that? Do you see that? Maybe you want to come. Ask God to help us to stay that way, to be more like that. Here's what I want to challenge some of our leaders to do. Would you come and pray with me that God will help this church to reproduce itself this year? This is the burden that God has given me. And I've relayed this to the deacon board. They're on board with this. I want to ask some of the leaders, maybe some of you deacons, some of your wives, if you feel led. Again, I don't want you to ever feel pressure to do this, but if you feel led, some of you folks that you say, hey, this is something I believe God's in. I believe God wants this to happen. If you desire for the Lord to truly reproduce this church somewhere else in this nation or around the world by sending somebody from our own group there, then when Brother Gary sings, I want to ask you to come, get on your knees, ask God to help us, to show us how to do it, where to do it, when to do it. May His will be done. Let's all stand together, shall we? Father, take it and use it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As Brother Gary sings, if God is speaking to your heart and you say, boy, I'd like to see this happen. Now, I realize not all of you can do this, but if you feel led to do it, I want you to come. Come, and let's pray about this. Brother Gary sings, you come now. Would you do it?
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning. Behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back, though none go with. Still I will follow, though none go with me, still I will follow, though none go with me, still I will follow, no turning back, no turning back.
They're playing through, you can look this way. remind you about the sign-up sheet for Cadets for Christ. I want us to pray, make this a matter of prayer. I would love to see in a year's time some church somewhere around this nation that people from this church literally went there and helped establish a local church. You know what I'd like to do? Give them a copy of this book. So you don't have to be just like us. But let me give you a head start on some things. Here you go. Take it. Take what you can use, whatever you can, whatever. I'm excited about that, friends. I believe the Lord's all over this thing. I really do. Excited about it. I like prayer warriors in our church. Got a lot of them. I'm going to ask one to lead us in prayer. What a prayer warrior. What a mighty man of God. I'm going to keep lifting him up till the Lord calls him home. That's my Moses. I'm glad, preacher, that I have confidence that when you pray, God listens. That's why I'm having you pray here, sir, because this is a major prayer request on my heart. God, help us to stay true to you and help us to reproduce ourselves every time you want us to. As you feel led to pray in that direction, I want to ask you to pray, okay? God bless you for being here tonight.